Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com.
Tennessee sounds perfect.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. Let's hear it for the man, the myth, the legend. He's known around the world for being one of the best podcast producers and biggest cinephiles out there, also having terrible taste in friends. That's right. Casey Pegram has joined us once again for part two on the history of topiary.
You're too kind, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Here's our guy. Jeez, I don't know, man. We don't really need much preamble here.
Well,
I
think we can... you're Noel. I'm Ben.
That's true.
That part.
I am still Noel.
I am me. Yeah.
It's a fascinating topic. I don't think any of us had any idea that there was this much to discuss about the surprisingly old art of topiary. So let's just jump right into it, guys. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Yes, yes.
The French tradition, I guess, kind of reached its peak under what often is the case, the Sun King himself. I mean, anytime we have something that peaks in French history, it's usually because this dude had something to do with it. This is quite opulent fellow. Louis the 14th in the Palace of Versailles, which was nothing if not maximal, but of course only had one bathroom.
It's one toilet.
Insane.
The richest people in France were like, well, I'm going to go poop in the yard by the topiary.
The topiary, yeah. You got to make room for all the topiary.
Were they still using human waste as fertilizer back then? Because that would make sense. Maybe they were like, they just didn't feel it was that. That's gold right there. Don't be flushing that down.
Brown gold, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Versailles had these 4,000-acre gardens. It was huge. You can hear us talk about it in the history of restrooms. And they had very high standards for how these topiary things should be cut. 1.9 million pots were always on hand so that the beds could be replanted overnight while the king slept, and he could wake up to a surprise the next day. It's just absolutely indicative of why France had a revolution.
Yes, sure is. Maybe she didn't say let them eat cake, but the attitude of let them eat cake was pretty pervasive, right?
100%, dude. And then if you go across the channel over to England, you'll see they had something called the knot garden. So they would take a bunch of herbs and they would tie them together, you know, like doing a French braid and hair or something, like, or a rope bridge. And then they had English yew trees, of course, because, you know, it's England. And they would also clip those down into hedges and grow them out into mazes. It was very hot time.
Absolutely. And then we have the Dutch entering the chat, who, you know, if you've ever been to Amsterdam, unbelievably beautiful fields, like gardens, really just, it's like everywhere. Honestly, there's a Mario Kart level for Amsterdam that was recently added, and it is just chock full of windmills and tulips. But yeah, the Dutch really got a taste for gardening, but also, we know, if you know anything about Amsterdam, you know that it's a very packed kind of metro type city. So space is really precious. So they had to figure out ways to maximize space. And in order to do that, they got mega precise, micro, with their calculations for these garden designs. And they also, surprise, surprise, were super into topiary.
Yeah, the thing is, so the Netherlands now, you know, Amsterdam is a very old, very heavily developed city. And if you go out, you know, there really are these picturesque tulip fields and windmills and all that. That's true. And they were always, as a country, struggling with space. In the days of their maritime trade empire, they had a very different take on topiary and ornamental gardens in general, because they had simply encountered many new species of plant life. And so they were able to flex super duper hard on this. And you could go to a garden, a Dutch garden, and you would see plants and flowers that you couldn't see anywhere else in Europe, at least at this time. And so the well-to-do in England start picking and choosing the kind of stuff they want to emulate. So they're like, okay, we like the uniformity, the grandeur of the French style. We also we're in love with these Dutch strong geometric patterns. And we want to get, you know, maybe one day we can get some of those fancy tulips. But this is still like the era of humanity where you would rent a pineapple to impress people at a party.
Yeah.
So maybe they didn't get the tulips, but they wanted to look like they wanted people to look at their gardens and say, oh, they know about the Netherlands.
That's right. Yeah. And we certainly have parallels to that in modern society. Sure. People living above their means, or, you know, having some sort of thing that is a status symbol or whatever that might be adorning their home or their clothing or whatever it might be.
F-150.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. They say, look at me. I'm fancy guy, even though maybe you're living check to check. It's a pretty tough situation.
Who's that fancy guy? Yeah. Who's that fancy guy with that wristwatch and a phone? He can tell time twice.
And a default mortgage.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, we see that this race to acquire social status via topiary in specific is, to your point, Noel, it is a microcosmic example of the larger human urge across culture to impress people based on your material possessions. And it should not be a surprise that the Tudors embrace topiary, and Henry VIII says, I'm going to go to the Romans. He goes, he hires some Italian gardeners to transform Hampton Court. He gets real deal Italian landscapers. And when a German writer named Thomas Platter visits Hampton Court during the reign of Elizabeth I, he goes nuts. We've even got a quote from him. He was really impressed, I think.
That's right. He had this to say, that he beheld all manner of shapes, men and women, half men and half horse, sirens, serving maids with baskets, French lilies and delicate crenellations. That's a great word. All true to the life, and so cleverly and amusingly interwoven, mingled and grown together, trimmed and arranged picture-wise, that their equal would be difficult to find.
Beautiful, yeah. Oh. Plus, he's a writer, so he's pretty talented at that. But, okay.
That's how he talked, too. I did it. That was a perfect impression.
Yeah, we based that on YouTube recordings from his vlog. Mm-hmm. So William III introduces the Dutch style, and then he is the guy who commissions the Hampton Court maze. Around 1700, they build this, beep me here, Casey, they build this big maze. And it's like a hearts and minds thing. It's to impress company. You know, folks, depending on where you grew up, if you grew up in the U.S., your parents might have done something similar, like a small version of this is the guest bathroom has the decorative soap that no one can touch.
Or the decorative hand towels.
Yeah, you know, right, yeah, right, right.
Thing too, yeah.
Oh, man, I always get so irritated. I get it. I love festivity. I like commemorating occasions. But it always irritated me as a utilitarian and a minimalist to know that there was this entire part of a hall closet
that was like, we only put this stuff out during Halloween or Thanksgiving. And this is the, you know, end of the year stuff. It's
just, I've just converted to like a Halloween house. So I just keep my decorations up all year. I add little extra touches like the pumpkins, which obviously don't last year round. But I realize I still have a giant fuzzy spider on my front porch from last Halloween.
Totally,
so I'm just
fine
supplementing. I have a Ouija board welcome mat that, you know, I bought it Spirit Halloween, but that's just my welcome mat, you know? It's easier that way. Plus Halloween rules.
Yeah, plus, you know, I said this in a poem I think I have coming out, but it's always Halloween in America. You know, it has been for some time. Think about it, folks. But anyway, so.
But don't think too hard.
Yeah. Don't depress yourself, but it is accurate.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah, it was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, Noel, have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh, boy, have I ever been.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day. You're right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at AvalonWaterways.com. So there's this awesome topiary, like hedge maze kind of thing going on in Hampton Court. A lot of other people see it, and various different courtiers of William III plant their own topiary at their own country houses, just like Pliny the Younger. And we know that a lot of these have been lost in time, but we also saw something that happens with any aesthetic trend or fashionable fad. Once too many people are able to do it, it loses its social utility. That's why so many otherwise highfalutin fashion houses would get mad when too many hip-hop celebrities liked their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like Burberry got mad about that.
Totally. I mean, the scarcity and exclusivity model is key. You know, that's why I like Supreme. If you go on their website, their stuff's always sold out. Because you have to buy it in the store. It's the only way. And when they drop something new, you know, you get it then or it's gone. And it's actually a pretty decent little way to make some money flipping that stuff if you actually live near one of those places, right, even if you're not into the style.
Yeah. And this happens with Topiary as well. There's a really solid argument the Country Life folks make that as Topiary became more common, as it became more of an aesthetic and increasingly less wealthy people were able to do something like it, the tide turns against Topiary, especially when a guy named Joseph Addison launches a diss track about Topiary in his magazine, The Spectators. "Our British gardeners," he writes in 1712, "instead of honoring nature, love to deviate from it as much as possible. Our trees rise in cones, globes, and pyramids. We see the marks of the scissors upon every plant and bush."
Not those marks.
"For my own part, I would rather look upon a tree in all its luxuriancy," not a word, "and diffusion of boughs and branches than when it is cut thus and trimmed into a mathematical figure." So
this quote is interesting because like every other word is capitalized.
Yes.
It's like a poem or something, or I don't know. It's very, wow. It's like a manifesto. By the way, I just wanted to add, I think Supreme should make a topiary.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Just one.
I'm looking at their website. $158 for a hoodie is, it's going to need to be a little bit more of an impressive hoodie.
I agree, dude. Not to mention, if you've ever been into, what's it called? Balenciaga. They have one of those stores at the mall, one of the fancy malls here in Atlanta. And I looked at a nondescript gray hoodie that just says Balenciaga on it in very small script, $1,000. No, thank you. I'm good.
It's irritating. I've been a busy little bee and I've been saving money, but I end up in a lot of airports. We all do. And the thing that gets me, especially when you're traveling through an international airport, is there are all these extremely high-end stores with the idea that someone's going, "Yes, I saved up for quite a while to fly across the Pacific. And the first thing I'm going to do is impulse purchase a Rolex."
I think it's largely designed for people that are just money is no object.
Right.
Do it on a whim. You know, I always wonder too about like, I think there's probably a bit in somebody's stand-up routine about luggage stores at the airport. Like, when does that ever come in handy?
Yeah,
what circumstance would you be in where you'd be already at the airport and need to buy luggage? Because even if you were going to get another one, you'd already, how did you get your stuff there? Maybe you buy it on the front end because you want to get souvenirs.
You're leaving the airport.
When you're leaving, you buy it and then you go, okay, we solved it. Mission accomplished.
Or you break your luggage. I've only bought luggage at the airport twice, and once it was because we had to go get stuff, and then once it was...
You're in an elite class.
No, man.
You bought luggage at the airport.
I'm in an elite class of bad planning, and okay, I did like enough. It. No offense to those folks. They're trying to make a living, but there are so many better places to buy luggage.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you one thing that you can't have bad planning involved with. That's Topiary.
Yeah, because that'll come back to haunt you so
really
quickly.
Will. In fact, in 1713, an English poet and satirist named Alexander Pope wrote another scathing article about the excesses of Topiary that he felt encapsulated this kind of rot, in his part of the world. He goes on to say, quote, "A citizen is no sooner proprietor of a couple of ewes, but he entertains thoughts of erecting them into giants like those of Guildhall. Any ladies that please may have their own effigies in myrtle or their husbands in hornbeam." Imagine, hornbeam. He adds, talking about some specific varieties of bush, tree, and shrub, his particular hatred of the, quote, verdant sculpture. This was basically a condemnation of the excesses of the upper crust, right?
100%. And this put a lot of the like aspirational, the people on the low end of the upper class, this put them into panic mode because they were like, holy smokes, or egads, we've spent so much money hiring this Italian gardener. We can only get Giuseppe for, you know, a couple of months out of the year. And now it's not popular. Now we look out of date and dumb. We look like squares.
Or spheres, perhaps.
Or cones, or pyramids, yeah. Or giants. So this leads to a slow burn purge of these decorative sculptures in the 1720s, 1730s. The aristocrats of England are clearing out they're paying people, rather, of course, they're not doing it themselves. They're clearing out their gardens, and this is the dawn of the more natural garden. It's still very manufactured, but it's meant to look like an idyllic waterside by a creek or something.
Is the idea here that it's sort of becoming gauche to flaunt your wealth in this way?
In this way.
I think so, yeah.
Other flex is totally fine.
Fair enough. But like, also, you never know, too. It probably could make you a bit of a target. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, look at that house with all the giant, oddly shaped shrubs. Let's break into that place. They probably got some nice stuff.
They definitely have hedge trimmers. Mm-hmm. If we need those. Yeah. So then it's interesting because then again, the cycle repeats. It reaches a new turn. In the 1840s, a botanist and garden writer named John Loudon says, you know, guys, enough time has passed. I miss topiary. And his voice is tremendously influential in this circle. And it's funny because it reminds me of so many things that we have all seen in the modern day, especially with like Twitter or with Instagram or TikTok. After a certain number of decades passes, someone will go, only 90 kids will get this. You guys, I miss cassette tapes. My question is, do you really? Because there's better stuff out there. You know what I mean? Like records, I think, are different because that technology is really solid and it conveys sound in a different way. But what I'm saying is nostalgia is a hell of a drug. And this, our buddy John, totally tapped in when he hit the aristocrats with nostalgia. And so people started decorating garden rooms again. They opened the estates to the public. And then within a few years, boom, 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 topiaries back on top, baby.
Yeah, we're in 1867, I guess, when you have this kind of shift in, I guess, topiary more like kind of coming back into the forefront as like an art form. And it has to do with kind of a fascination with a lot of things going on in Japan, like a lot of the cultural, you know, crafts and practices of the Japanese. And at the World's Fair, this really kind of makes its debut in a way. The entire continent was basically like Beatlemania, but for Japanese stuff.
Yeah, they became a bunch of weeaboos.
That's exactly right. And this included things like Japanese gardening, like these Zen type gardens and like the very organic shaped, you know, it wasn't topiary. It was almost anti-topiary, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because it was, you know, very meticulously trimmed and crafted, but it was all designed to feel as natural as possible. And there are these very precise pruning techniques that the Japanese gardeners would use, some of which were not that far off from what we'd seen with some of these Italian gardens.
Mm-hmm. Of course, bonsai is like mini topiary, right? I love, love, love bonsai. I am by no means responsible enough of a person to take care of a bonsai tree, honestly, it probably wouldn't buy one either because the really dope looking ones are
like expensive, right?
Thousands of dollars.
Really? Yeah.
They're very expensive.
Holy cow.
Especially if they're older and they're like a hardwood, you know, so they've got the really tiny leaves and stuff.
And they're really temperamental, right? Like if you're not taking care of them correctly, you can lose them pretty easily, right?
They're sensitive boys, yeah. Yeah, for sure. But it's, you can see how people would have been fascinated with this in Europe, especially the intentionality of the aesthetic, right? We're talking about, instead of this huge chaotic growth of stuff, instead of this abundance of uniform militaristic chopped trees, there's like, let's have two trees and let's position them in an interesting way with perhaps a water feature. And yes. Everybody in Europe loses their minds. They're like, this is amazing. You know, it's like when the beat drops in an EDM song. You know what I mean?
I love that part. It's the best part of the song.
It's the wait for it, you know? It's the knock they were looking for.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah, it was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car, I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, Noel, have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh, boy, have I ever, Ben.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day, right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com. At the same time, literature has embraced this romanticization of topiary gardens in the past. So you would see, like, Lewis Carroll write about secret gardens. You would later see books like, you know, The Secret Garden.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And also made its way into, you know, Magritte paintings and the surrealist works of Salvador Dali and Pablo Picasso. So this definitely, kind of, I mean, Picasso, obviously some of his work is more political, his later work especially. So I imagine that the idea of the topiary could also have significance referencing that kind of elite class, you know, of conquerors, you know, from the past. But also, they're just freaking weird. And they're creepy. And they're like, there are ways to really make them an excellent feature in any surrealist kind of work of fiction or horror or just kind of just, you know, something's not quite right. There's a sense of foreboding. Again, is they used to great effect in the Stephen King version. I guess that movie is so revered in its own right. It really does feel like that's the Kubrick version. There's the Stephen King version. It does have topiaries that come to life and like stalk, you know, young Danny.
Yeah, and the Stephen King version also has one of my one of the few laugh out loud parts in the novel, where at the end, spoiler, by the way, for a decades old novel with multiple film and TV adaptations, 3-2-1 spoiler. Toward the end, when the Overlook Hotel is fully possessed, the father, the way that the kid saves the story in the book is he turns up the gas boiler. Right. And the boiler explodes the Overlook. At the very end, when the Overlook possessing this guy realizes what's going on, he says, you dasn't like dare not.
Right.
And I was so deep in this book. I'm a kid when I'm reading this and I'm like, is dasn't a word? You know? And I asked my dad and he was like, son, this will make sense later, but Stephen King does a lot of drugs. So I didn't know it was a real word, but I guess it is.
I think, yeah, I don't know. I think he might have been in the thick of his cocaine days when he wrote that one.
Yeah, it's apparently a northern U.S. contraction of dare not. Maybe it's transatlantic. But anyway, yes, you're right. This uncanny valley is, I think topiary can tap into that, similar to when you see a mannequin and you're not expecting it, right? That's never pleasant.
Sure.
Though they should stay in department stores. I'm sorry, I sound like I'm advocating mannequin apartheid, but if you're not expecting them, they're very strange to see in the wild.
100%. Especially the ones with like the really creepily narrow waists, you know, or really elongated necks.
Mm-hmm. And we know now that you can see topiary in all sorts of places, especially if you live in a large metro area. Like we just started making plans to go to the Atlanta Botanical Garden. And we know that today topiary is, this is kind of a happy ending thing. Topiary is a really cool way of beautifying common spaces.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it because I mentioned earlier that I hadn't really ever seen any topiary, but I realize now that I certainly have when I went to Disney World recently. There are quite a few of them there in the shape of, you know, your favorite characters. Disney brought topiary to America's kind of mainstream with these trademark trimmed little fellas. Disney actually even developed some portable topiaries by fastening moss and little shrubs to steel wires, which was able to give them the support they needed to create these kind of cutting guides. All they had to do was just trim around the cages, much like those rosemary contraptions you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, and I think there's something so very cool about that. I would love to go visit the botanical garden with you guys. You know, maybe we can take the lady friends and the kids.
Sure.
And I think we can also... Now we can say we're looking at the world with different, more topiary-sensitive eyes. So you might be surprised the next time you see a big public event, the next time you visit a park in your neck of the global woods, folks, you might be surprised by how much topiary is out there. And we can't wait to see the most stunning, most extreme, the weirdest examples. So I'm glad we made this a two-part episode, Noel. What about you?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. You know, I never would have. I think this may have been my suggestion when we were talking through potential topics once on one of our like pitch meetings. And I think it just occurred to me that like there must be some interesting stuff in the history of topiaries. And I had no idea it would be this much. But boy, was it ever. And huge thanks to research associate extraordinaire Zach Williams, who, as always, went above and beyond. There was stuff we couldn't even get to in this two-parter on topiaries.
Big, big thanks to Casey Pegram, our super producer. Man, the myth, the legend, Casey. I do hope we can make this a regular thing. Are you going to help us get the band back together?
Absolutely. Love to.
Nice. Okay. And big, big thanks, of course, to Max White Pants Williams. Big thanks to Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. The Quister, who I promised Jonathan I would not publicly mock his hedge phobia, his topiary phobia. And I do want everybody to know he has one. So, as of course, as always, if you have complaints, send them to our complaint department. That is Jonathan Strickland at iHeartRadio.com. Big thanks to Chris Vrasiotis, Yves Jeffcoat, Here in Spirit, Gabe Luzier, Alex Williams, and Noel. Big thanks to you, man. I'm excited about the botanical garden.
Me too, buddy. Me too. And thanks to you as well. We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.